Okay, now faith is. Okay, go.
Yes, it's Sunday morning, August the 30th, 2020. And the title of this is Now Faith Is. Many years ago, I don't know how many years ago, there was a guy, Joel Osteen, come out with a book, Your Best Life Now. And, you know, I doubt that anybody really got it, but the point was, is we're always looking, it'll be better when. When this happens and when the Sarah kicks in, it's really going to be good. When I get 20 pounds off, it'll be good, you know. When I don't have to work at this place anymore, it'll be really good. When I don't have to pay a house payment anymore, it's really going to be good. How much of our lives do we live? I can remember as a mother, very frustrated most of my mother years, and thinking, I can't wait till the kids are out of school. Then I'd say, I can't wait till the kids are back in school. You know, always looking to something in the future to make me happy, or I would be happy, that I would be better future. And I never enjoyed my life now. I'd say most people are probably that way. If I could just get through this week. If I could just get through this next project. Well, now, it says, faith is. Faith is not tomorrow. It's now. Okay, are you walking by faith or are you walking by fear? Do you say, well, just looking for better days? Just looking for better days. Do you say, when I'm no longer in pain or no longer in debt, always looking ahead? Isn't that how most of us walk by faith? All just walking by faith, really? I think maybe more walking by fear than faith. Is that how most of us walk by faith? Yeah. When we all get to heaven, well, we ain't going to heaven for a long time. If you look in the book of Revelation, it's not till after the 1,000-year millennium. Well, we never will go there unless we leave early. But if we follow the millennial reign and all the progression and we're still alive, the new heaven and new earth will come to rest. It'll be a new heaven and new earth, and then the new Jerusalem will come down out of heaven. Think about that. All this heaven stuff, it's nothing but something to make you think about something to keep you from focusing on how rotten and crappy things are right now. I'll tell you what, the rapture theory is a sacred cow that needs to be sacrificed. What does it do? It keeps us from occupying and walking by faith. That's what it keeps us from doing. Always thinking, well, the Lord's going to come get us. The scripture does not bear that out. The earth he has given to man. He put the man in the garden. He intended for him to reign 7,000 years. That's what this last 1,000 years is about. It completes the creation cycle. And the Lord likes it so well, the plan, that he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Well, if we were all just supposed to go to heaven and just give the devil this down here. I mean, you can see it in Scripture, bailout. There's no bailouts, even though God sent a lifeboat for Noah. But he stayed on the earth, didn't he? And he took the wicked out. You see that over and over through Scripture. He didn't take the Israelites to heaven. He stamped out the beast system of that day in Egypt. He told them, go take the land. He hasn't quit on that. That's God's plan for man. Plain and simple. Now, at some point, our loved ones that have gone on, I think heaven's just nothing but a holding station for those that have gone on before. They'll be coming with him to be on. In fact, the holy city will come and rest, and it'll be like, you know, he will dwell among men, it says. We've had it all messed up, haven't we? Okay. It's not walking by faith. It doesn't get any better than now. We might as well learn to enjoy our lives now. I think always looking out somewhere else and it's someday, 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 it may get us by, but that's not where God wants us to live. How can I do today if I'm always looking at someday? Okay, Hebrews 11, 1. You ever think about it? You just hope and hope for something, and then you get it and you think, You thought it's just going to be this firework thing, and you're just going, well, it's nice, but those things don't satisfy. I have been reading in Ecclesiastes, just the first few chapters, and Solomon, he had all the riches, 1,000 wives, and he kept saying, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. I mean, the richest man, the wisest man, had anything he wanted, come to the conclusion, it's just all vanity. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's just like how I began a while ago about learning to meditate on now. On now. God says now faith is. Now the time for what you desire is now. And I can't think of any better way for us to have now than meditating on what the now is. Now we see ourselves the way we want to see ourselves, or our situations the way we want our situations to be. I said, Lord, help us to get a hold of this. I think it's powerful. Mm-hmm. I've had it happen in my own life, and when I do it, and I've done it so seldom, I'm thinking, why did I not realize how powerful this is? No preacher taught me this. Now, I remember Brother Hagin talking about his little girl having a little boy, maybe. I don't know if it was, one of them had a cyst, one of them had the mumps or something. But anyway, no, I think it was the little girl with the cyst. And the school nurse was coming. And so he laid on his bed. He was in another state at a revival or something. And he would lay on his bed and meditate concerning that cyst on her hand or wherever it was. By the time the nurse come, it had disappeared. See, he learned, Brother Hagin learned that. All right, now faith is. Let's turn to 2 Kings right quick. Well, I'm telling you, this week, the Lord has given me so much, I walked around with a notepad every day thinking, Lord, how can I possibly bring all this? You know, I can't bring all this. Second Kings chapter 4. Now there was a certain woman, verse 1, of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not any oil in the house, save a pot of oil. And he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels borrowed, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And I'm reading the wrong passage. I wrote the wrong one down. The part I wanted where, let me see if I can find it. Okay, it's the same chapter, but I'm not going to read all of that. Let's go back. Let's go to, let's pick up with verse 8. That's a good story, but that's not the one I'm wanting you to see. And it fell on a day when Elisha passed by Shunem, there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was, that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread, and said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, a servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, he stood before him, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, he stood in the door, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. When the child was grown, it fell on a day when he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And he called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Is it neither new moon nor Sabbath? And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her far off, that he said to Gehazi's servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she called him by the feet. Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Now she's vexed, but what's coming out of her mouth is not words of a person that's vexed. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. And when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up, and he stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. He called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. And then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. So this Shunammite, she had to keep her words, even though she was vexed. What was happening to her, she was vexed. But what did she do? She would not let anything come out of her mouth that she would regret or that might hamper the move of God. To me, that, you could say that's like meditation. You're meditating on the answer. And she was. She was thinking of her son living and not dying. And when someone spoke to her, it was like it was already done. No, it's well. It's well. It didn't matter that she was vexed. It is well overrode being vexed. Okay, Ecclesiastes 11. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Verse 1. Give portion to 7 and also to 8. Thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. The clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south, toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. What's that saying? Things are going to happen. It's just part of living here. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. And why would I say this portion of Scripture? Now's the time to walk by faith. Now's the time to be sowing good seed, not speaking our circumstances, not speaking it only when things are favorable to us, but speaking them regardless, whether our soul is vexed or whether it is not. Those that walk by faith are not moved by the mountain, but their words move the mountain. Did it in the Shunammite's life? Absolutely. The mountains is an obstacle to the person that is not an obstacle to the person that walks by faith, but the obstacle actually becomes an opportunity. Like the three Hebrew children. Daniel in the lion's den, perfect example. Paul and Silas in the jail. Okay, there are just a few examples of those that refused to let the circumstances take charge over them, and their faith prevailed and they were delivered. How do you know that you are well? Certainly not by the way you feel, but how, what the Word of God says you are. It is when you have no more pain or when you're or experiencing pain. It's kind of hard when you're experiencing the pain to think I'm well, isn't it? But it's the truth. Now faith is regardless of what the mountain is presenting. Faith is never someday. Faith is now. It can't ever be someday. Faith can never be someday. Oh, I'm just walking by faith. That's not faith. To me, that's fear. Oh, someday. No, now. There's no time like now. Your best life now. All right, Mark 11. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. I don't like that shall. Shall come to pass.
It's not spoken. be in there.
Well, it's not in italics.
In the original. If you look it up, it means the same thing as come to pass. You could just say, he saith come to pass.
Okay, what he saith come to pass, it shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. So it indicates to me the moment that you speak it, it becomes the reality. Not it's going to, but it becomes the reality when you speak it. What was the difference between between Israel and David? Think about the story of David and Goliath. We'll just look at a couple of scriptures there. We're not going to look at the whole passage. This is 1 Samuel 17. You're going to see the fear camp and the faith camp. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 10 through 12 says, and the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. 10 and 11. Greatly afraid. Then over here on verse 43, same chapter, we hear what David said. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. And I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. How did David learn that? Out there by himself? You want to know about David's meditation? Go read the book of Psalms. That's how the lion and the bear, he could kill them. The Spirit of God would come upon him. David was speaking to the mountain. It's time to get aggressive in now faith and stop letting whatever the mountain says to you stop us. Ruin our day. When you get to where you don't even enjoy life anymore because of the obstacles. God doesn't like this. He doesn't want us. That's the purpose of the obstacles. How are you ever going to learn this if you have none? Nobody likes to hear that, including me. But it's true nonetheless. This is how we learn to overcome obstacles. How did David know he could slay the giant? Because he slew the lion and the bear. And the Philistine will be just like one of them, he said. The size didn't matter. His faith mattered. Okay. This is not the day of withdrawal or hunkering down. Time to take your stand and take the mountain down. Cast it out of your life for good. God says we are more than conquerors. Jesus said he overcame the world for us. We don't have an excuse then, do we? We don't. No more. What are we going to do but facing the mountain with the knowledge that we have already won? Walking and talking and saying, all is well. How are you today? I am just so great. Never better. Never better. Honestly, this week, the only things I've been able to say is, all is well. All is well. I can't causes you to lose ground. But I can helps you gain ground. Now think about it. This is how Satan builds up embankments against us, is because of so many I can'ts. All right. Early yesterday morning, the Lord began before I arose and gave me some nuggets, and I want to share those with you. It applies to our success in the walk of faith. Romans 5:20 says, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Grace is the enablement to not succumb to sin. What is sin? Well, I did a strong study. Sin is offense. In the vines, the word harmashia means to miss the mark. It is actually the violation of divine law. So sin, we think of sin as you really did something. But sin is not attaining to the highest place in God. You miss the mark. When we give in to I can't instead of I can, we've missed the mark. Grace is the enablement given unto us to help us to act according to divine law and not miss the mark. That's where the grace of God kicks in. They keep us meditating and speaking all is well. Grace kicks in to help us not let Satan steal our words or force us to speak his words. Let me just put it that way. Next thing the Lord said to me was this, "I took your pain." Isaiah 53:4, I'm going to read it out of the Young's literal translation. "Surely our sickness he hath borne, and our pains he hath carried them, and we have not esteemed him plagued. We have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God and afflicted." So Jesus was plagued with all the sickness of humanity. So just as there is no more sickness, there is also no more pain. So what are we suffering then? The mere appearance of it through our thought life. Now we heard Brother Copeland say that out of his mouth, that pain is a thought. And I agree with him on that. The symptoms of sickness are not real unless you make it real. The same goes for pain. It is not real unless you make it real. Because isn't it pain to get your attention off of God? It's a false flag. False flag. People are running to the doctor all the time over false flags. We are used to fake news today. Symptoms are fake news. Pain is fake news. God's word is good news and also true news concerning your situation. In the Rotherham's Emphasized Bible, the word pain, I didn't write that scripture down, but anyway, pain, right here. "Yet surely our sicknesses he carried, and as for our pains, he bore the burden of them." The 1599 Geneva Bible, I want to read that passage, Isaiah 53. If I can find it in this thing. All right, 53, we'll start with a 1. "Who will believe our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? But he shall grow up before him as a branch and as a root out of dry ground. He hath neither form nor beauty. When we shall see him, there shall be no form that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. He is a man full of sorrows and hath experience of infirmities. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we did judge him as plagued and smitten of God and humbled. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was broken for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes are we healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet did he not open his mouth. He is brought as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken out from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his age? For he was cut out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people was he plagued. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no wickedness, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet the Lord would break him and make him subject to infirmities. When he shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So he took it all for us. He was plagued. He suffered the pain. The Septuagint Bible says this: he bears our sins and suffers for us, yet we considered him to be in pain, suffering, and ill treatment. He, Jesus, suffered the real sickness and pain. What we experience is only fake news. It is Satan's propaganda to get you to buy into the beast system. So sad today that so many Christians have no... they don't have any perception of this. No perception. Danny has a song that the Lord gave to him called "What I See Is Not Reality, But Only What I Believe." What do you believe? Exactly. What do you believe? Exactly. All that we go through is training for reigning, just like Romans 5:17 declares. He wants us to reign in life as kings. Ephesians 5:10 says to be strong in the Lord. We are not to be strong in ourselves by using the world system. Most people do not speak to their mountains. They speak about their mountains. They go to the beast system to get them fixed. Let me get me a bulldozer out there. The Lord said this to me personally this week. I did not tell you to stop exercising and dieting for you to become weaker. The world system declares this is the way to be healthy. If you don't believe it, get on any social media platform and they're trying to get you to drink this drink that's got collagen in it. And they want you to drink this for something else. Or they're wanting... I had you stop because they were fleshly endeavors, your works and strongholds in your mind. Amber's revelation from the Lord goes right along with this. Renew the mind, renew the man. To walk in the kingdom is to speak to your mountains, creating by speaking, for you are a speaking spirit made in my image and likeness. This is the real you, not your earth suit. This is like a NASA... Your earth suit helps you to live here. It gives you access to your surroundings. It is not to rule you. Adam named it and claimed it, and so can you. I am so excited by the kingdom age. The beast system will be overtaken by heaven's system. I'm excited for that. But with that being said, until that time comes, your best life is not when we all get to heaven. Or when this trial is over, or when the Sarah rolls out, but your best life is now. That's where the Lord wants us to focus. He wants us to abide there, and that's where meditation comes in. Abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine, have love, joy, peace, health, whatever. I don't even remember the song. He has said, "These are mine. I've got prosperity, power, and whatever, liberty." Abiding in the vine. He told us not to let our hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, and you ask what you will, shall be done. I mean, come on, this is what it's about. And through meditation, it's going to cause it to not just be a fleshly endeavor, but it's going to cause you to get the spiritual connection to it. And when you speak spirit words, boy, you see manifestation. Not some of the time, every time. Anytime I've ever had that, it's either been instantly or within a 24-hour period. When the Lord gave me something to speak and I knew, bam, it changed the situation right then. Just think about it. You may not get a lot of things accomplished, but you can get 100% accomplished. Just speaking, just allowing, you know, you've got the words to speak. You know what God's word says about it? Then you meditate on it and the Lord has you say a certain phrase. Or you just get in agreement with Him. You just know that peace rises up in your heart and you know it's done. There's been some things I didn't have to speak anything. It's just I had the witness in my heart what the Word of God said about me was so. And then I could move my arm. I tell you what, you'd be a whole lot more rested and not so worn out and weary at the end of the week. Instead of Christian means and methods. That's what religion is. It's a bunch of things we do. I was, during the week, couldn't get the song out of my head. I come across this video of this young girl, looks like she's about 13 or 14, singing The Sound of Silence. Well, I looked up the lyrics to that. It's talking about people that went to sleep. It's talking about, hello, darkness, my old friend. It was like everything was dark. You talk about the Dark Ages. Yeah, it was dark back in those Renaissance times, but I'll tell you what, it ain't any darker than it has been these days. People just, and it, one of the verses talks about that people worshiping at some god they made up. Like The Sound of Silence. Nobody's speaking up. Nobody's telling the truth. Nobody's saying anything. It's all darkness. And that's where we're coming out of. That's what's happened. That's where Satan, because the people of faith are so few and far between. But that's why God has a remnant. We can get a lot accomplished. And we will, if we'll do it His way. And it won't be a religious work. It'll be, like Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they're spirit and life. You're also a speaking spirit, so the words that you speak are spirit and life.